Praise the Lord, he still can. He still can indeed. Colossians, the book of Colossians chapter 3. Colossians chapter 3. Colossians 3 and verse 15. The Bible says, "And let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to the which also ye are called in one body, and be ye thankful." Now, notice, this is absolutely important to everything I'm about to say, that you notice who Paul is talking to here. This is a church. This is the church of Colossae, right? This is the church, the Christians that were there in that city, regular church members. This is not the like the book of Timothy where Paul is talking to a preacher, okay? This is, in fact, Timothy is helping him write the letter. If I recall here at the start, it says, yeah, it's Paul and Timotheus. Timotheus is on the side of sending the letter, okay? The audience here are regular church members of a church. And he's saying, you've been called in one body. So this is a message to the church, not to one or two leaders in the church. Okay, this is important for everything we're about to say. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another. Now again, remember, this is not a lesson to the preachers. This is to the regular people sitting in the pews. Teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. Singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. And whatsoever you do in word or deed, do all to the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God and the Father by him. So what I want to do in the next few minutes is teach you something you already know. What I want to do is go through something. There's nothing amazing new. I've never heard of that before. I never thought of doing that before. This is stuff we know and we're doing. And I'm preaching to a Sunday night crowd on a day when pastor's out of town. And I know exactly who I'm preaching to. Because sometimes when you go, there's two times when you want to teach the basics. One is when you have a beginner that's just starting. And there's no idea what they're doing, and you got to start step by step teaching the basics. The other time you need to talk about the basics, teach the basics, is the expert that's been doing really great focusing on all the advanced stuff and needs to get back sometimes and get reminded to focus on the basics. So that's what I'm doing tonight. I mean, say for maybe a few kids in the room that are maybe a little newer at this, I'm expecting those listening to me tonight know all about this stuff I'm about to talk about. But I need to be reminded. I need to be reminded with some basic stuff of Christianity. And what I want to talk about tonight is simple as this, participating in church. Yeah, that's simple. I'm going to talk about you participating at Lighthouse Baptist Church. And I say, okay, yes, I need to sign up to help in the bus ministry. They need help. I need to sign up for the outreach, and I should pick a time to be in the nursery. No, that's good stuff. You do need to participate in that way. But that's not actually what I'm talking about tonight. I want to focus a little bit more than that because we don't have time to cover everything we need to do as Christians. I want to focus just on you participating when we have church, participating with what happens right here in this room every Sunday morning. And we don't think about, no. Yeah, you mean you want me to join the choir or a volunteer to be an usher? No, I mean, yes, do that, please, by all means. We if you've got the ability to sing, absolutely you should participate, jump in the choir, help with the ushers, help with the security ministry. No, but I'm talking about every single person in this room on Sunday morning participating in what's happening right here because you've been called in one body. We are called in one body. We are not the audience of one performer. We are called in one body, doing something together as one, not coming here watching one do something. And so I'm going to talk about there's a million things we could talk about. There's a lot of things we do here in church on our regular services Sunday morning, and they're all very important. I'll talk about the most obvious ones. There's other things I could go on to, but let's just talk about the basics. Let's just talk about prayer and singing and preaching and how you need to participate. It's really that simple. That's all we're talking about tonight. You need to participate when we pray, when we sing, when we preach, right here in this room at Lighthouse Baptist Church. We can get that basic down. Our church can have power to reach the lost. We can have the Spirit of God, the unity of God, and God's power on our church to reach others. And Paul knew that, and so we have these letters. There's a parallel passage. There's another passage just like the one I just wrote. Some of the words are almost the same in Ephesians chapter 5. Again, another church that Paul is writing to, and he knows all these churches need to work on the same thing. Here he says, speaking to yourselves. Again, he's not telling the preacher, speak to them. He's talking to them. Speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your hearts to the Lord, giving thanks always for all things unto God the Father in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, submitting yourselves one to another in the fear of God. He's talking about just doing basic church. We come together, we're a called out assembly, and we come together for a reason. Do you ever stop and realize we don't just do preaching and singing and praying in church because it's a tradition? Now, I'm not saying there aren't thousands of church buildings this morning all across America that do singing and preaching and sing and praying just because it's a tradition. That, I mean, that's happening. But that's not why we do it here. That's not why we should do it. We're called to do it. This is part of God's plan. This is something that needs to happen. This is something I need. And it's way too easy to say, well, I made sure I got that covered. And you say, again, I'm preaching to myself as much or more as anyone else. This is easier, and this is actually more of a challenge for a preacher because, look, I made sure I got this done. I got to make sure that the Sunday school class lesson, and we had the coffee, that we had this, and we had that, and we got this, and the kids are over there, and we're getting all the things done and the things fixed and dealing with the problems and whatever. But it comes down to it. We've come here together for a reason, and I need to participate in that. This is not something that one person does and the rest of us are an audience. There's a reason why we have lights on in the auditorium. There are, if you're in a movie theater, right? The show starts, they turn off the lights because you're just an audience. You're just watching. You just need just barely enough light to maybe see your popcorn as you're eating it, right? The main event is up there. It's watch the show, And we're sitting there. You're sitting there to be entertained. That's not what's happening here. This is not an audience section. This is a church. This is assembly. The only reason we have someone up here leading is so that we'd have unity. So we're all doing the same thing at the same time because we need unity. But the person up here leading in a prayer, leading a song, preaching a sermon, they're just a leader. And you're the body of Christ. I've got to ask myself, am I participating or am I just sitting there? Am I so distracted by all the things that I'm doing that I'm not doing the main thing we're supposed to be doing here at church, having church? As a kid, like playing tug of war, right? You ever played tug of war? Right? You get a bunch of kids. Maybe I can get a couple of kids. Can I grab a kid's chair? You want to come up here? You're going to get a couple more kids. Yeah. I need a few more. Is there, can I get someone over here? When you guys want to, I need an illustration here. Yeah, there we go. Here, you guys want to help? Yeah. Okay, come on. There we go. We got some guys here, okay? We're doing tug of war, okay? So everyone got, you know how it works, right? Okay, you all be on that team, okay? You be over there. No, okay. You're pulling there, okay, right? I'm trying to see if you can beat the pastor. You get over there, y'all get over there, okay? It's unfair here. It's all against me here. But, all right? So you like playing tug of war, guys, right? And if you got a lot of you guys and you're all, it's not even working because you got to all hold the rope. You got to all hold the rope. Come on. There you go. Okay. Right. You see how it works, right? And this just looks like we're ready for tug of war. All right. And if they all pull together, they'd probably beat me. Okay. There's a bunch of them. Okay. They'd probably beat me. But hold on. For the sake of illustration here, let's say, Jerry, you really want to pull. Okay. But all you guys, I want you guys just to pretend to pull. Don't actually pull. don't actually help him out at all, right? You just look there, and I want you to do your best fake tug of war, okay? Except Jerry, you gotta win it for the team all by yourself, right? Right? Yeah, you're actually pulling. Just fake pretend. Don't even touch the rope if you have to, right? They're pulling here, but it's not working, right? How much chance? I mean, if they all work together, I think they're gonna beat me, right? But okay, yeah, they're all falling down now, right? But if they're all faking it except Jerry, do you think Jerry's gonna beat me, right? You know, right? If it's no fun if you're out playing tug of war. You know it as a kid, right? Like, you ever been there? Hey guys, look up here. Hey, you're gonna beat him now. All right. Hey, do you want to be on a tug of war team where some of the other guys in the team aren't pulling, and you're the only one pulling, and they're just sitting there, smiling, looking tough, and you got a whole bunch of them on your team, but I mean, if they're not pulling, you don't want that, right? If you were the only one pulling, you're not winning, right? Right? Okay? So here's the question, guys. What happens when we're here at church and pastor's working really hard? He's been studying the Bible. He's been praying over that message. And he's reading the Bible when he's trying to touch your hearts. And he seems to be the only one pulling. And you're just sitting there, not even listening to the preaching. That's like being on the tug-of-war team, but you're just holding the rope like this. Go ahead and take a seat. Go ahead and take a seat, guys. Thanks so much. In fact, if you've got someone on your tug-of-war team, right, and they're not carrying their weight, they're not pulling, you'd rather they just not be on your team. Because here's the fact of the matter. If you've got some of the guys on the team pulling and some of the guys on the team just standing there looking tough, smiling, holding the rope, it's not just that they're not helping you pull, but if you are, you know, the one guy at the end of the rope and you are strong enough to pull over the other team, you've got to pull the whole other team plus all the guys on your own team that aren't pulling. You got to move them too. And I got to ask myself, is there ever time on Sunday morning? Pastor's up here. Let's open your hymnals and let's sing this with all our might. And he's pulling for all his might to get us to lift up the name of the Lord. I got to ask myself, sometimes am I just sitting there? I'm dead weight. Oh, maybe my lips are moving and, you know, I'm going through the motions of singing the song. And there's someone up there leading in prayer, leading the charge against the forces of the devil, calling down the grace of God, pleading with God for mercy, someone dying of cancer, souls that need to be saved. And oh, I'm sitting there, and I'm bowing my head, closing my eyes like a good church member. But in my heart, I'm just sitting there holding the rope. I'm not pulling at all. We're not going to get anywhere as a church if pastor's up here the only one pulling on the rope. When it comes to just regular church services, Sunday morning, a new visitor walks in the room, we need to all be pulling the rope together. When I say it's time to pray, we need a hush that comes over the room. And a seriousness is every heart in this room with sincerity, with one heart to God, prays and ask with all their might for God to save a lost soul in this auditorium. And it's time to sing, and we sing every one of those words, and we mean it from the very bottom of our heart. Letting those words speak to our very soul. Forgetting all the emotions and the stress of that week as we're ministered to by the words of the song, and then we listen to the preaching. Ready, God, if you would speak to me, if you show me where I need to get right, I want to get it right today. I want to learn something. I want to be convinced of something. What it is that I can change in my heart for the Lord's glory. If that's the kind of church that we're having, then a visitor walks in and sits in that service. How much more power does that gospel invitation have than if we were just all sitting there in our pews, wondering, you know, looking at our watch, wondering when is this over? You know, when we get to our casserole, right? I mean, I don't need to try to, you know, I mean, that's probably when it comes to the, oh, yeah, don't be, I mean, maybe all focused. Maybe we're listening. Maybe we're turning in our Bible and we're there and we're even saying amen. I just want to remind myself that all of us, what goes on here on Sunday morning is a spiritual battle and we're all in the fight, not just the preacher. You take a church, again, it's the same thing as with the tug of war. Let's say you're a visitor, maybe you're an unsaved person, you walk into one church and it's a brand new church plant just getting started. It's their first service. And there's a preacher and he's preaching and he's excited about the Word of God and he preaches the Word of God and there's five people in the church. That's it, five. But every single one of them desperately wants to see God do something great in that place. Every single one of them wants to see people saved and every one of them is excited and they're listening to every word of that sermon and they're saying amen and they're letting it, and boy, they're singing the songs. I mean, there's only five of them, but they're singing it for with passion, with meaning. I mean, they may not be on key, but they're enthusiastic and you have five, and that's it. 100% of the church is enthusiastic for the things of God. Right now, and what impact would that have? Yeah, it's a small. But that new visitor is going to look around and say, boy, something's happened in this place. These people believe in what they're saying. And every word of the gospel that comes from that preacher's mouth is going to have weight. It's going to mean something. Boy, these guys believe it. Maybe I should too. Now take the exact same scenario. Let's say there's 100 people in the church, but there's still only five that are enthusiastic about the things of God. You add 95 people, just bodies sitting on the pew. They're not distracting. They're not sitting there, you know, complaining or getting up and down in the middle of the service or anything like that. But they're just sitting there without the same enthusiasm of those five. They're there. They're not really participating. Same thing. And here's that new visitor. Same sermon. Same conviction. Same truth. You know what that person's going to think? Boy, this church is boring. This place is dead. Exact same sermon. Those 95 people aren't adding to the things of God there. They're taken away. They're the extra dead weight the preacher has to pull on the rope to try to impact the soul of a lost person. And I don't mean to be like stepping on a toe, but I got to ask myself, I mean, it's really basic. Am I participating in church as I should? I'm not talking about even anything out loud. I'm talking about in my heart. I mean, it's basic stuff. Let's go through just really three basics. That's it. I mean, this is the simplest outline ever. Number one, ought to participate when it's time to pray. And I'm convicted about this one because it's way too easy for the prayer in a church service to just be like that, you know, commercial break during the football game. You know, it's just something that's always there, and your brain kind of turns off till we're done. Till say, oh, amen, amen, all right, game's back on. Into the commercial break. Right? But is it good for there to be routines? We always have, we pray at the beginning of the service, we pray at a certain time of the service, we pray at the end. Yes, here's why. If we don't have a routine, we will forget to do it. And it's so important that we need a routine. But at home, we have a routine. When we sit down to eat a meal, we pray, right? It was an example that Jesus gave at the Last Supper. But it's not just because of that. We want, if I have a routine, then I'll make sure I do it. But boy, is that the easiest one to just kind of skip over, right? You know, you just pray really quick so you can get to the eating, right? And sometimes you ask your kids to pray, and they give a more spiritual prayer than you. Yours has nice words, but you're saying the same words every time, you know? Heavenly Father, thank you much for this food. Help us have a great day, blah, blah, blah. The end. Amen. Let's go. Let's eat. That's what we do. How easy it is to do that. When we come here together for church, we're praying. It's important. It's a big deal. It's a big deal to God. It needs to be a big deal to me. And spiritually, I need to participate. You say, no, the pastor's up there praying. We're waiting. The pastor's praying before the service. We're waiting. No, understand that's not how it's supposed to be working here. If you understand what's actually supposed to be going on, I mean, this might be basic for you, but you know, some of your kids and stuff, when the pastor, hey, Bella, look, when the pastor's preaching, right, and they're going to pray right at the end, right, or they pray right at the beginning, it's not that they're praying, okay? It's that we're all praying, and they're leading in prayer. You understand the difference? Yeah, so if we all prayed out loud at the same time at our own timing, okay, this would just be a bunch of random gibberish. No one would understand anything. And there's a clear verse in the Bible that deals with that problem, right? 1 Corinthians had a problem. They were going a little bit charismatic, and Paul had to rein them in. No. We don't want this confusion, everyone, you praying this and praying that and praying over the top of each other. That's not supposed to be good. We all want to be together. We want unity. And so that's the only reason there's only one person praying out loud, is because you can't hear when two people are talking at the same time, right? Oh, it's just going here, okay. You can't hear, right? So one person's talking out loud, but understand, all they're doing is leading so that every single one of us prays at the same time. We're all there, and we need to all be in one heart praying. The idea is, here's someone going through, they're praying, and I need to be sitting there saying, I need to fervently pray for whatever it is they're praying for. With all my heart, with sincerity, and mean it. Look at this. The Bible says this in Matthew chapter 18. We know this. Jesus, again, this is basic stuff. You've heard this before. It says, again, I say unto you that if two of you shall agree on earth as touching anything that they shall ask, it shall be done for them for my Father which is in heaven. For where two or three are gathered in my name, there am I in the midst of them. But woe is us if someday, you know, we're just so into the routine, it's the start of the service, and pastor, let's pray. And he's asking God to bless the service. He's been praying over this sermon. He wants people to get saved. He wants people, that lives to be changed, for our church to grow, for us to take one step more of spiritual growth closer to God, to have revival in this place, to see this community reach with the power of God. And he means it when he's up here praying. Here's the question, are there two or three gathered in his name at that moment? Or is there one and the rest are just sitting there with their heads bowed, waiting for the commercial break to get over so we can get back to the football game? This is just a routine. It's a space filler, a time filler. It's just a thing we do. Or do we mean it? Now, sure, I can show I mean it. There's a reason why way back in the Bible they started this tradition of just, well, we're all going to be quiet so we can pray in our hearts, but at the end we say out loud, amen. By the way, that's a good idea. And if you've gotten out of that practice of saying amen nice and loudly so everyone else can hear it at the end of a prayer, let's get to it, right? We pray and we get to the end of the prayer and you say amen to say, I've been in my heart praying everything you've been praying, but here's what you don't do. You don't listen to a word they're saying and say amen at the end. I agree with whatever it was he just said. I wasn't listening, but yeah, I agree. Us husbands know all about that, right? You know, we're sitting there, right? We got our magazine we're reading, you know? Wife comes up. Hey, honey, you know, tomorrow we're going to be at 3 o'clock. We got to, yeah, okay, sure, right? We know we've been there. And then once in a while my wife gets me. All right, what did I just say? When you get to the part where you say amen, can you still remember what we just prayed about? Am I actually participating in the prayer? In here? It's important. If not, when it comes, it becomes that what Jesus warned about, the vain repetitions in Matthew 6-7. This is what the Pharisees were struggling with, right? But when ye pray, use not vain repetitions as the heathen do, for they think they shall be heard for their much speaking. Like, God's going to bless us because we routinely just do this tradition at the start of each service, just at the end of each message. We'll just pray, just do the thing, you know. I'll just repeat it, amen, at the end, without meaning it in my heart. I need to be part of it. We need to all be pulling on the rope. We need to all be there together, bringing our request to the Lord. In one spirit, in one body, together. right? Think about how important prayer is. Like, prayer is not just this little routine we do to fill time. It's just humming here. I'm not sure what got going on here. I think I keep humming over here. I'm not sure what's going on there. Hopefully it won't start ringing on me here. But prayer is really important. It's huge, and you see that in the New Testament church. Look at it. In Acts chapter 6, they were trying to take care of problems in the church, right? The 12 called together. Remember, they had the whole problem with the widows not being taken care of? And they said, it's not reason that we should leave the word of God to serve tables. Wherefore, brethren, look ye out among ye, men of honest report, full of the Holy Ghost wisdom, that will appoint of this business. Hey, let's appoint someone else to take care of really important work, like taking care of widows. That's really important. Why? It says, but we will give ourselves continually to prayer and the ministry of the word. This isn't important as this is what the apostles mean. This is as important a thing as the church does, is praying to a holy God. It's not a space filler in our service. It's not something we do so we can easily transition between one part of the service and the next. Now, sometimes it helps to do that. I mean, you put the prayer, it does break up, but that's not why it's there. We put the prayer in our services because we need to pray together as a church, two or three gathered in His name. Right, in Ephesians 6, remember, it says this, this is again a little bit later than what we just read in Ephesians 5, but here in Ephesians 6, it says, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all preservations and supplication for all saints. There's a lot of people, there's a lot of saints that need our help. We've got a prayer bulletin on Wednesday night, right? I think it's probably sitting up here, right? Right, yeah, we got it, here we go, right? If you come on Wednesday night, we got a prayer bulletin. This is just not a routine. We don't just do this for tradition's sake. There's names on here. These are people. And they need the grace of God in their lives. And they need a church where everyone participates in praying for them. And really meaning it. And these missionaries we're supporting. These things, you know, the deacons, the, you know, we have the deacon of the week and the missionary of the week. And you know what? They need our prayers. This is important. Now look at Pastor Hewitt's a spiritual man. He's going to get up here and he's going to say, let's pray for these missionaries. And absolutely, I believe God is going to hear his prayer. But you know what we need? These people, they need all of our prayer together. Gather together in his name. Look at it. But let's continue what it says here. It says, okay, preservation for all saints. Look at this. And for me, this is the preacher. This is Paul talking to the church at Ephesus, right? That utterance may be given me, that I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel, for which I'm an ambassador in bonds, and therein I may speak boldly as I ought to speak. The preacher needs your prayer. I know this is basic stuff, but we've got to remember it. Look, Sunday morning, pastor's going to get up here, and there's going to be visitors in the church, and he needs the power of God on his life to preach. We say, well, if the preacher, if we want to move our church forward, we need a pastor with the power of God. Why aren't you praying for it? You know, pastor's been praying that God will use that message. As he's been preparing the message, he's been asking God, I'm talking to God, give me the right things to say. Give me the words to say. You know what he needs? He needs a few of us praying for him too. Look, before the service even starts, start praying for your pastor. And then when someone gets up and maybe it's one of the assistant pastors or someone else, and then we're leading in prayer and we're saying, look, bless the service today. Help the pastor to say just what you want him to say. Let's mean that, all of us. Let's see how much power God doesn't pour out on our pastor as he preaches from this pulpit. If we all with one accord and one heart and one spirit ask God to empower him. It's what our church needs. And I need to be part of pulling that rope. So we need to pray together. Next, we need to sing. They say, Pastor Meyer, boy, we got a pastor who knows a lot about singing. I feel a lot out of place even mentioning anything about music in a sermon because we have a senior pastor that he's forgotten more things about music than I will ever know, okay? He's way more skilled in when it comes to music, way more knowledge about music. So if you want to get into this passage, you want to know what's the difference between psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, you can probably ask Pastor Walsh and he'll spend a long time explaining the difference between songs and hymns and what's the distinction. It's good stuff, okay? So I'm not pretending to be the expert on music, but you need someone else beside you. Because here's the thing, here's what's easy to do with a church like ours. We've got a pastor that, yeah, he's excited about the music, but that's been his thing since he was a kid, right? You know, he loves music and he's practiced music all the time, right? It's easy to say, oh yeah, he's excited about the about the singing the songs this morning because, you know, that's his thing. It's not because it's his thing, it's our thing. We're a church, and we need the singing. Look, we need to sing these hymns in this hymn book. We need it. I need it. I need to hear the words. I need to sing these songs, and I need to mean it from the bottom of my heart. We need the music in the church. And I think it's like, so I thought, like, man, I don't know, I can't preach on music. I mean, pastor knows more about music than me, but here, you need to hear someone else say it. It's not just because it's his hobby that we do so much music in the church. It's because the church needs singing to the Lord, right? Look what it says. Teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. Notice what it's saying there. It's one another. That means the church is singing. Now, sure, absolutely, when they give some special music here, they're teaching and admonishing all of us. But you know what? When it gets time, open your hymn book. It's time to sing. It's time for you to sing and to encourage her. It's time for you to sing and encourage her. We are ministering to one another when we sing these songs. Your church needs you to sing these songs and mean it. The person next to you in the pew is going to be ministered to in their soul by hearing these songs sung from a heart that really means it. We need you to sing. We need you to participate. So, I don't know how to sing. You don't have to, okay? Can you read? Read the words if you have to. Do your very best. What we're participating here isn't about, like I said, I'm not asking you to get up and sing the solo, okay? All right? We're not all great at that, right? No one asked me to get up and sing the solo. But this church needs me to sing when it's time to sing or to play my trumpet or whatever it is, to be part of the music. Why? We're a church. This is what we're doing. Look what it says. We are teaching and we're admonishing another. We're admonishing one another when we sing these songs. Look, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. Look at that back in Ephesians. Speaking to yourselves. Ever think about that? No. Singing to yourselves in psalms. No. It says speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. Singing and making melody in your heart. Now, what part of what I just read requires you to be a talented musician? Speaking to yourself, okay, here's the audience that needs their heart changed during the song service, right here. This heart needs to change during the song. Speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and, look, spiritual songs. Speaking and singing and making a melody in your heart to the Lord. We need it. Have you taken the time to look at these words? And when we get there, we're just, you know, here it is, okay, turn to the number, say the words, sing them out loud. When's the last time you wept over what you were singing? When's the last time it impacted your heart? That's what it's supposed to do. These songs are there to speak to your heart. You read that in the Psalms. Remember, look, singing is a huge part of the Bible. It's the biggest book in the Bible, right? You're not gonna ask any of the kids, you know, this is the word I'm sure you'll get the right kids. So what's the biggest chapter in the Bible? It's the Psalms. Or, like, you knew the shortest one a minute ago. You know what it is? You know? You're like, oh, come on, now he doesn't want to answer. They answered in Kids Club. Psalm 119. Look, the chat, Psalms the biggest book in the Bible. It's got 150 of them. You don't think, oh, our hymn book's too big. Look at how much of the Bible is the hymn book. You think, well, man, all these, there's too many verses on these songs, too many words. Look at how big the Psalms are. They got words to them, words with meaning, and we need that. Because the point of the song service is not to sit there and be entertained. If we're going to do that, go find a professional musician, right? But if you want to be ministered to, find a church. A church where a body of believers together from their heart, look at this, singing, look at this, with grace in your hearts to the Lord. You can be entertained by someone with none of God's grace in their heart. What we need is someone with grace in their heart. singing with grace in their heart to the Lord. You say, well, say, oh yeah, okay, when they're doing the congregation, that sort of, I'm not just talking about that. Okay, let's say they're sitting here singing that song. Okay, they're ministering to me. No, I need to participate then. I need to listen to that song. I need to let that song influence me. Again, we're in a battle against the devil here, okay? We're pulling on the rope, and it's not just, okay, well, at this moment, you know, they're singing a special, so it's just them singing. It's just Ruthie here singing. Now, we'll let her sing, and I'll just, you know, I'll just be entertained. No, that's not the point. My heart needs to start moving right then. There's a reason we do the singing. We have a singing right before the sermon. It's not just a tradition. We do it on purpose. We need the music to move our hearts and prepare our hearts to hear the word of God. And if I'm sitting there and I've just spaced out during the special music, you know, I've got to check my phone, I've got to do my whatever else, and I've just spaced, I'm not participating, I'm not letting that song speak to my heart, then now it's time for the preaching, and I'm one step behind the rest of the church. I'm like the kids here a second ago that were, the end of the rope was here, and they're standing past the end of the rope. Y'all see that? It's not going to do much good if you're past the end of the rope. And so here we are, we're supposed to be praying, and we're asking God to get our hearts ready, and we're singing, getting our hearts ready, and now it's time for the preaching, and we're going to let God move our hearts and change our, and we're going to grow this church to the next level spiritually, and oh, I kind of missed step one and step two. I wasn't participating. I didn't even pay attention to the special music. I didn't let it speak to me. Choir sang, and I wasn't, my mind was somewhere else. Look at this. When we sing, this is important. You can find this in the Bible. Look, we need to sing out loud. We sung in a second. It's in my notes, but I didn't know where we were going to sing it. I will sing of the mercies of the Lord forever. With my mouth will I make known thy faithfulness to all generations. Right? We sang it as a song a second ago. Do you remember? Did you mean it? God wants us to make, with our mouth, to say that. Look, we need to sing with our understanding, right? In 1 Corinthians, Paul was talking about, what is it then? I will pray with the Spirit, and I will pray with understanding also. And I will sing with the Spirit, and I will sing with understanding also. Now, he's talking about here why we don't do speaking in tongues in our church, and we don't for that reason. But it's with understanding. God wants us to be listening to the words of these songs when we sing them. You may be great at singing the notes on key and enunciating each syllable correctly, but if you pay attention to what the words are saying, I need to. Our church can't afford to have some of us pay and some of us not. It's not just you're a neutral party here. If you're here in the church and you're not participating in the song, in the song service, you know what you're doing? You're bringing it down. Again, I'm not trying to discourage anyone, but I got to ask myself here, are there times when I've been the dead weight on the rope? And pastor's trying to get us to sing, and we want to praise God and try to move our hearts before the service, and we're a church, and we're supposed to be doing this together, and I'm just sitting there going through the motions like a robot. You know, they have advances in artificial intelligence right lately. It's been on the news. Now easy it would be to make a robot that sings all the songs in the... It's really easy nowadays, you know? They can probably sing them on key as well. Don't do any good. That's not what we're looking for. I need to sing with my understanding. These words, they make a difference. Look, I need to sing, look, with my heart. My heart is fixed, O God. My heart is fixed to thee. I will sing and give praise. This needs to come from here. It's not just a skill thing. And yes, obviously, if we're going to have someone sing a special, we're going to get someone that knows how to sing and sing on key. If you have those skills, develop them. But we need every member of this church singing from their heart, regardless of what, you know, what key signature they're actually singing in. We need it from the heart. It's going to move your heart. It's going to move all our heart. There's a reason God designed for church to come together. Say, well, I sing all the time. I sing at home in the shower. Good, great. That's a wonderful part of your devotions. But you need to sing together here with the church. We need to come together, and we need to sing together. Why? That is God's design for our spiritual growth. You got to trust him. He knows what he's doing there. That's when he made it that way. Look, I got to remember this. I got to sing to my soul. I need, when I am singing these songs, I'm the one who needs to hear it. I'm the ones you see here. And by the way, it makes a difference if I'm saying it out loud when it comes to impacting. You know, things you say out loud, you remember. They impact you more. I'm saying this out loud, and I'm meaning it. Because I need to get my heart ready to hear the word of God. I need to grow my heart. I need to spiritually focus my heart back on God, and I need to do that. And these hymns do just the thing because they have real words in them that actually say stuff. We're not just saying some, you know, popular pop song, and we've switched around a few of the words so they sound Christian-y. I mean, these have substance, and I need that. And you mean, well, I came to this church a lot because of the kind of songs we sung. There were other churches that I talked to someone about, you know, pastor thought of coming when I was looking somewhere to be an assistant pastor. And several of them, I could tell, just went to their website and I could tell them in a few minutes that I would not be comfortable there, that the songs they were singing, you know, maybe they weren't wicked or heathen, but they weren't drawing my heart to the Lord. And I came to this church, a lot of things, the preaching, the stance, the focus on the gospel, the heart, and just God's leading. But a large part, what drew me to this church, you know, hearing about it, checking out the website and stuff when I was living on the other side of the country, was that our singing, we sung the hymns. Because I need that. I need that in my spiritual daily. I need to come together with the church and sing the hymns of the faith. I absolutely do. It's necessary for my spiritual growth. Look at this. In Psalms 103, you notice if we just kind of sing, we read this and we just kind of brush it off as just kind of an introductory statement. It says this, "Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not his benefits." You know, O my soul. Okay, now this might be, you know, saying, you might hear pastor say, O my soul, a couple of times. Okay, but hold on. You ever think about what that means? O my soul. Who's he talking to here? He's talking with his understanding to his soul. I need to instruct my emotions. I can't just count on just feeling the way I need to feel here in church. I might have had a ridiculously stressful, difficult week, and I come in the door and I am not ready to do what God's called me to do as part of this body of Christ. I need to sometimes preach to my soul. Because he's singing here, he's saying, "Bless the Lord, O my soul." He's saying, look, soul, you know, inner self, me, bless the Lord. I need to do it. I need to correct my emotional state. I need to get to the place where I, in my heart, am wanting to bless the Lord. And that is a huge part of what singing the songs, and it's why we have it. We've got to do it. And I need to. I need to get myself to that place. I need to sing with grace. Look, this is a spiritual battle. This is a spiritual battle, right? We wrestle not against flesh and blood, against the principalities, against powers, against the rulers of darkness of this world, against spiritual weaknesses in high places. Look, we're fighting a spiritual battle. We're not going to win it with carnal weapons. We have to have the praying and the singing in our church service. Because we're doing battle against Satan. So if they ask you up here, do you have a pastor who's getting up here and opening the hymn book? And he's loaded up some fresh ammunition, a new song we haven't sung in a long time, and it's got some great words, and he's ready to do battle against Satan. And you're all just sitting there. Like, imagine a soldier sitting in a trench in war. And they're all ready. They're all got the uniform, they got the bullets in their gun, but they never aim at the enemy and pull the trigger. I gotta ask myself, am I just going through the motions sitting in a pew? And yeah, I look the part. I'm here, I'm ready. I'm going through the motions, but this is a spiritual warfare. Am I helping the rest of the church fight that battle? And that means something has to be happening in here. This is a spiritual battle. Okay, so number three, and obviously, when it comes to me participating, I got to listen during the preaching. This is part of God's plan for the church. There's a reason why everything in this service centers around the preaching of the Word of God. Not because the pastor is super important. Look, because the Word of God is that important. And I come here, I need, on Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night, I need to hear the Word of God preached to me. I need to be moved by it. I need to be convicted of something I'm wrong. I need to get it right. What's this? Let the Word of God dwell in you richly in all wisdom. Teaching and admonishing one another. Look at this. The word indeed. Look, or in Ephesians, submitting yourselves one to another in the fear of God. But here's the thing. I'm hearing the church around me singing to the Lord, trust and obey. And then someone's getting up here and they're praying, Lord, help us obey you, help you learn. And there's a sermon to trust God, to obey him, right? Am I submitting to that? Here's the rest of the church. Here's the preaching, and here's the word of God, and I need to submit. I can't just sit here, okay, nod, go through the motions. I've sat here, and I've heard the preaching. I've heard the singing. But notice what it says, submit one to another. I'm going to be able to say here, I'm not just here to get entertained. I'm here to submit. Here's what the Word of God says, and it's not the preacher's opinion. It's, thus saith the Lord. Am I willing to humble myself? I say, that's right. That is what the Lord says. I've been doing that wrong. Being willing to get down on my knee. Say, God, I'll submit. I'll listen. I'll do what you want me to do. When's the last time you submitted to something that was preached from this pulpit that you didn't want to do? If it's been a long time, so, well, it's been a long time because just I'm such a perfect Christian. You know, pastor never preaches against what I'm doing. Maybe I'm not submitting the way I should. This is what we're doing as a church. This is what we need. We need other Christians from the Word of God, by the grace of God, to encourage us to, oh, I need to stop doing that. I need to start doing that. I need to get that right. I need to change this. And you know what I need to do? I need to submit. That's how I participate. You say, oh, you're talking about participating. I mean, like, yeah, I participate in the church. Look, I volunteer here. I help here. I sweep the floors. I sing in the choir. Okay, but in the most basic thing we do here, do you participate in the submitting to the Word of God? That's what we're doing. That's what we're here to do. That's the main thing. You can't be the soldier and say, look, I cleaned my rifle, I polished my shoes. Look, I've got my uniform ironed, I've done all the things. Back in the barracks, my bed is made with the perfect hospital corners. You can drop a quarter off of it. Man, I'm a great soldier. And yeah, but you won't pick up your gun and shoot it at the enemy. You know, the military, the main thing, they do all that. That's all important. Following all the rules and regulations is important. But in the end of the day, your mission in the military is to go fight the bad guys, right? And what's our mission here? What are we doing here? We're submitting to the Word of God. And I could brag all day about all I've done in the church, how I've participated, how I've done all these things. Look, I helped on this, I helped on this, helped this. But if I'm not willing to do the very most basic thing we're trying to do here, what's the point of all that? If step number one is submit to the Word of God, and here the preaching, here is pastor pouring out his heart, something the Lord has put on his heart that we need in this hour. Preaching is the dangers of our day, the temptations that are facing me daily. And I'm not willing to submit to that. I'm not willing to listen, to let the Word of God dwell in me. In the Bible, there's an example, one of our favorite examples of a preaching service. And it's in Nehemiah chapter 8. You know, it's the one where the reason why we always seem to want to make pulpits out of wood. The Bible doesn't tell us to do that, but the example is there in Nehemiah 8, so we like wooden pulpits because of that, right? Because he has a wooden pulpit. No, it's probably more talking about the platform, but it's great, you know? But listen, this is one of the turning points in the whole Bible. All these Old Testament prophets, if you notice, read the prophets, how many times they preach and they stone them to death. That's the response. I can imagine that, you know, here's the sermon. All right, here's the invitation. Rocks start flying this direction, right? That's what most of the preachers in the Bible faced. But not in Nehemiah 8. This is the turning point for the children of Israel. Remember, they had been worshiping idols, and it doesn't matter how many times God sent a prophet, they went right back. Remember, Judges, there's like six cycles in the book of Judges, and them turning away and coming back and turning away and coming, and then the kings, you know, they turn away from God, and they get a good king, and they repent, and but they don't quite tear down the high places, and they go back. It goes on the whole Bible, right? Under Moses, way back to Moses, way back to Abraham. How many times did God have to say, Abraham, yeah, here's the promise. Oh, yeah, I believe. And the next minute, he's not believing. It's been through the whole time, and now finally, here's the preaching service that actually works. I think it would behoove us to pay attention to what is different about this preaching service. Now, is it that Ezra is a great preacher, and Jeremiah and Isaiah and Daniel and all of them were terrible preachers? Is that what it was? I mean, was Elijah and Elisha just, they were boring as milk toast, and they just got up there, and they were no good as preachers, and they didn't practice their sermon. Oh, I forgot to prepare a sermon. Is that why? Is that why they didn't get a response, but Ezra does? I submit to you what's different about Ezra isn't that he was a better preacher than Jeremiah or Isaiah. The difference was the people standing and listening to him. Because they were standing. They didn't even get comfortable pews. And all the people gathered together. No, I missed a word. And all the people gathered themselves together as one man. This is what a preaching service ought to be, to feel like. Gathered together as one man. In the street that was before the water gate, and they spake unto Ezra the scribe. Look, he wasn't even prepared to preach at all. They said, preacher, get the Bible, get out here. We need some preaching right now. How much time did he spend preparing for this sermon? He didn't. They said, bring the book of the law of Moses, which the Lord commanded Israel. Get the book, right? And Ezra the priest brought the law before the congregation, both men and women, and all that could hear with understanding, right? That includes kids. Everyone to the point where they could understand the words that are being said. You know, the babies weren't necessarily there so much. Their babies were in the nursery. But this is why we have the nursery. And then look, if you can hear with understanding, we need to hear the preaching of God's word, right? All that could hear with understanding upon the first day of the seventh month, and he read. I mean, he didn't sit there and give a great, exciting preaching with great illustrations and all of that. No, he sat there and read Deuteronomy. You know, this is like, yeah, that's riveting seat of your pants preaching right there. He's reading the book of Deuteronomy, like the laws. Like, don't do this, you know. But if thou shalt forbear to vow, it shall be a sin unto thee. But when thou art gone out of thy lips, thou shalt keep and perform even the freewill offering according to thou. That's what he's reading. He's just reading the law, right? But listen to this. And he read therein in the street which was before the water gate from morning until midday. Okay, that's a pretty long service right there. And by morning, they didn't mean like, oh, yeah, 10 o'clock in the morning. No, probably like sunrise. Morning till midday, okay? Before the men and women and those that could understand, and the ears of all the people were attentive unto the book of the law. And Ezra the scribe stood up upon a pulpit of wood which they had made for the purpose. Beside him stood, and then it has all these other preachers that were there standing beside him, supporting. This is important. It wasn't just his voice versus everyone. That's where Elijah was, right? It was him versus 400 prophets of Baal, right? But that's not where we left Ezra there. It was him and another preacher saying, amen. Another man of God saying, amen. And the deacons and the preachers, and we need some men of God that are here agreeing with what pastor is saying. We need that. This is how we are going to lead the next generation to follow God. We need the elders, we need the deacons, we need the men of God here to be here and be attentive and be agreeing with what pastor is saying, backing him up. As I so help, I'm bummed that pastor's not here. I appreciate pastor gets up here after I preach. You know, it's helpful to have someone else saying, hey, what he just said, that was true. Got to listen to it. That helps. You know, you can do that right now. Just say amen, right? It's really easy, and it's powerful, and it has a list of all these people. I'm not going to read all the names. I'm not going to try to butcher all their names here. But list all these other men of God that are there with him, backing him up. It says, and Ezra opened the book in the sight of all the people, for he was above all the people, not above all like in importance, but he was, again, this is practical. He's here so they can all hear him. No PA system. You need to be elevated, okay? Again, that's why we do it. It's biblical. That's the whole idea right here, right? It says, and when he opened it, all the people stood up. And Ezra blessed the Lord, the great God, and all the people answered, amen and amen, 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 with lifting up of their hands, and they bowed their heads, and they worshiped the Lord with their faces to the ground. That's participating in worship. That's participating in preaching, okay? That's a worship service, not some kind of fancy team doing a show and dance. I mean, that's great. I mean, entertainment is great. I mean, it's great to have some special music and stuff like that. But this is a worship service, the preaching of the law, God's word. And look, the people were attentive. There's no indication here that Ezra was in any way a better preacher than Jeremiah. But they threw Jeremiah in a pit. And the preaching of Ezra changed their lives. All I'm saying is this. We have a great preacher who preaches the word of God every Sunday morning faithfully. He comes prepared. He's already picked out the songs. He's already got the schedule. He comes prepared to pray. He comes prepared to sing, to preach. And I need to come prepared to be part of that. He needs us pulling on the rope too. You know, we've got those songs. How can they not impact my heart? I mean, look at that song we sung. Did you listen to the choir singing a minute ago? Right? We heard, oh, what was that? What we're singing? I think I got it here, right? When I survey the wonder cross, you listen to the words, right? See from his head, his hands, his feet, sorrow and love flow mingled down. Do you picture it? Do you sing the song? Do you hear when they were singing the song? Were you thinking of Jesus in the Garden of Gethsemane and the sweat mixed with blood dripping from his? Are we there? Are we thinking about that? Did e'er such love and sorrow meet, or thorns compose so rich a crown? Were the whole realm of nature mine, that were present far too small. Love so amazing, so divine, demands my soul, my life, my all. You singing in the choir, you sang it, did you mean it? Did you say that really does demand my life, my all? That is love. I want to emulate that love. Do these songs move you? I need it. Sometimes I need for someone just to sing, it is well with my soul. And you can get these words, like, okay, yeah, it's a beautiful song. No, but does it impact you? I mean, like I can't get past the third verse on this song. You can sing it, you can lead a song. I wouldn't be able to get past the third verse. Because I don't know if you're as much a sinner as I am. When I hear these words, my sin, oh, the bliss of this glorious thought. My sin, not in part, but the whole, is nailed to the cross, and I bear it no more. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord, oh, my soul. I mean, I can be, you know, we can just go through the motions, but does it impact me? You know, you get to that song, And Can It Be? That's why I like that we sing all the verses when we get to the end. It has to move me. And I'm in trouble if it doesn't. You know, I guess it's long my imprisoned spirit lay, fast bound in sin and nature's night. Mine eye diffused a quickening ray. I woke the dungeons flamed with light. My chains fell off. My heart was free. I rose, went forth, and followed thee. Well, I needed that. That song changed my life, just sitting in a service. And actually finally listening to that and realizing, boy, that struggle with sin, I thought I'd never get forward, I'd never get past. and speaking to my soul and saying, listen, I am free, and that chain is broken, and I need to pray. I can easily get on with it and just stop and start just going through the motions and singing the songs, and okay, here's the preaching, and when will we get to the end, and maybe fill in the blanks on the notes, and okay, I think he's wrapping up now, good. You know, I'm getting tired here. But am I participating? How much would it change this church? The same preacher, same heart for God, but every one of us was part of that sermon. As pastor gets here Sunday morning, and he's going to pull on this rope, every one of us gets on and pulls with him. With every word of every prayer, with every verse of every hymn, with every verse read from the Word of God, how would this change if we all participated? You can see a picture of that in the Bible. Just go through the book of Acts. Notice what that church was like. You know, in Acts chapter 2, they that gladly received his word were baptized. The same day they're added in about 3,000 souls. And they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship and in breaking bread and of prayers. They were all participating. It wasn't like the apostles kept praying and they led in beautiful prayers. And, oh, Peter got up and he gave an amazing prayer. And Paul got up and gave. No, that's not what it says. It says they continued in breaking of bread and in prayers. And in chapter 2, in verse 46, it says, and they continued daily and with one accord in the temple, breaking of bread from house to house, and they'd eat the meat with gladness and singleness of heart, praising God, having favor with all the people. And the Lord added unto the church daily such as to be saved. But now they've gone from 100 members of their church to several thousand in a few days. All they're doing is, was Peter just the most amazing preacher in the world? No, I don't. You know what it is? They all were. It was not Peter that got 3,000 people saved on the day of Pentecost. The church together sought the power of God. They've been praying for weeks and weeks and weeks. They've been praying, waiting for the Holy Spirit. Look, and you can continue on. It says in chapter 4, it says, the multitude of them that believed were of one heart, of one soul. Right? And great grace was upon them all. And in chapter 5, in verse 42, it says, and daily in the temple and every house they ceased not to teach and preach the word of Christ. And in chapter 6, it says, and the word of God increased, and number of the disciples multiplied in Jerusalem greatly, and the great company of priests were obedient unto the faith. In chapter 12, it says, and the word of God grew and multiplied. The fact of the matter is, when a church gets behind his pastor, and there's not a single change in how he preaches, and a single change in the songs that we sing, but we all decide to participate, Sunday morning comes alive. And here's what I'm challenging you to do. By all means, in a second, we'll do an invitation, and you can come forward if you feel like God is, I need to make a decision right now. But here's how you respond to what I'm saying right now. Week from today, Sunday morning, that's when you're going to respond. And you're going to decide, am I just going to sit here and listen to the prayers and listen to the songs and listen to the preaching? Or I'm going to be part of what God is doing in this church Sunday morning. And Sunday morning, you're going to decide, and a pastor gets up and says, let's pray. And if everyone in this room, Sunday morning, prays with fervency in their heart, it'll change this church. This Sunday morning, every single one of us decides, I'm going to listen to Pastor preach. I'm going to let his words, I'm going to submit to what he's saying. I'm going to let them affect me. I'm going to be part of that. And I might even say amen once in a while. I'm going to sing the songs that I'm going to get that I'm going to sing, and I mean every word of it. I'm going to say, well, sometimes, you know, we go through the songs, have you noticed that the songs that we're going to sing are in the bulletin? See, I haven't had time to really think about what the words are. It goes by too fast. Here's a radical idea. You're sitting there waiting for the service to start. The number's right there. Open it up. Start reading through the words before we even sing it. So when we do sing it, it means something to you. You know, we get to start praying. You don't have to wait till the service starts up praying for God to give power to the preacher that day. God to give power to the choir and the singing and every bit of the service.
We need every member of the church doing that. The church can't stay vibrant for the things of God with even a portion of us not participating. It hurts the church. And I have to see that. I have to realize that. And I have conviction to do that. You know what? There are times when I'm just sitting there and I'm glad I'm not preaching today. I've had a rough week. And I'm just sitting there. And I'm there. I'm dressing the part. I might even say amen. Because, you know, it's an obvious time when you're supposed to say amen. You know, and the preacher's saying, come on, louder, or I'm going to preach longer. Okay, okay, amen, amen, okay, amen. I'll be honest. There's been way too many times in this very room where I've not participated the way I should have in the service. I'll be first to admit, you know, there are times when I bowed my head, but I wasn't praying. I was waiting to the prayer to get done, and I said amen. But I wasn't in my heart asking God for the same things that everyone else was. And spiritually, this church deserves better than me sitting here pretending to pull the rope and not pulling on the rope. This church doesn't need me to be extra dead weight when we try to seek the Lord and have revival. This church needs me to participate in the most basic things we do here: preaching of God's word, praying, singing the songs of the faith. I need to participate more. And whatsoever ye do in word or in deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God and the Father by him.